तस्यां जागर्ति संयमे तस्यां जागर्ति भूतानि तानि शापश्यतो मुने.
What is night for all beings is the time of awakening for the self-controlled. And the time of awakening for all beings is night for the introspective sage.
Om Jnanat Nirandasya Jnanam Janashalakaya Chakshuvannilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Shri Chaitanya Manovrishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamasyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tantajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijanasakitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिन्दितनामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणि प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशकारिणे नमो महावदन्याय कृष्णसेवाप्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्यनाम्ने गौरद्विषे नमो हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते Gopesha Gopikakanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tattakanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamani Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Upasindubhya Devacha Parilanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Arati Bhagavan Vrajeshakanaya Taddhama Vrindavanam रम्याकाचिपातना विदिवदु वर्गे नवाकल्पिता श्रीमद्भागवतम् प्रमाणमतम् प्रेमपुमर्तो श्रीचैतन्य महाप्रभोर्मदमिदम् तत्रादरानपरम् जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे.
हरे कृष्ण. We have been discussing on the topic of Sthita Prajna in the past few classes. Sthita Prajna is a particular type of person, a particular personality who is self-realized. Arjuna is asking about Krishna the symptoms of such a person. How can we know who is a person who has become self-realized or God-realized? And Krishna has been speaking many symptoms about such a person. In the past class, few classes we have been discussing about how such a person is free from desires for enjoying himself, whereas he only possesses spiritual desires by which he wants to serve God. He is free from all kinds of materialistic endeavors for his own enjoyment. That was one symptom Krishna spoke about. And he is always fixed in Krishna consciousness and is happily situated. He never laments about the past happenings, nor is he in illusion about the present. Or he is not worrying about the future. His heart is just like a child. He is very happy, happily situated. In the last class, we were discussing the two component formula. How will we control the senses? Somebody said that last time, I remember. How does Krishna say that one should control his mind and senses? like a tata. Yeah. And then later on we discussed simply suppressing one's mind and senses will not allow one to become happy. One has to have superior engagement. We all have one of our childhood proclivities because we are experiencing a high type of responsibility in life, isn't it? How many of you now play kabaddi, man? Or how many of you play like the children used to play? You know one kind of game you play, jumping from one square to another square, trying to catch volleyball? Yeah. How many of you play this now? Because now you have many other higher beginnings to do. In the same way, when one experiences the sweet relationship with God, then automatically one's lower nature, animalistic nature, they disappear. So we were speaking about Vishyavani Vartante. And then in the last class we discussed about how Lord Krishna said, my dear Arjuna, you should restrain your senses on one hand, on the other hand you should engage them in my service. And Lord Krishna told him. And in this way you will become a Chitta-prajna very soon. Let me ask you to all of you. How many of you want to become like the Chitta-prajna that Krishna is speaking about in Bhagavad Gita? How many of you can raise a hand? How many of you? Oh, someone not raising hand. Probably they are thinking, wondering who is Chitta-prajna. That is such a difficult question. Okay, those who raise a hand, why do we want to become Chitta-prajna? Or what do you want to achieve with that? Yes. Alright, put the question in Namah Simpla Vashi. Why did he come to class like this? Let me hear a few reasons from this and devotees. Why did you all come to class? You all can say one more reason. Maybe a few of you. Yes? The controller. Okay. They will say the controller. Yeah. Anything else? Anybody? To find your happiness. Yeah. Yeah? Anybody else? Some more happiness. Subject in the interview. Yeah. Yes. Anybody else? You're dancing. Right. Okay. No one. Okay. That's nice. Yeah. Anybody else? Yeah? To know what is real. Very good. Yes. To get out of the real problem. Yes. Anybody else? Yeah? To go back to God, everybody. Yeah. Anybody else? Two. Okay, all the answers. All of you give right answers. In fact, all the answers are included in one answer, which I think she said, I think, that we all are looking for happiness. Nobody wants something. Everyone wants to become happy. Here, she is speaking something interesting. You see what he said? What is nice for all beings is the time of awakening for the self-controlled. And the time of awakening for all beings is night for the introspective stage. So he's talking of two kinds of people leading two different paths. One hand, in those days I studied Bible courses and all. Bible courses, that's one of them. So one of the Bible courses, lessons, there was an interesting picture that I observed. So there is one path, one route, where all the people are, you know, dancing, joking, and enjoying. And there is a huge crowd of people going. And then the pathway is quite broad, very broad. And then in this way they are walking, walking ahead, looking at the sky, that we will step on the moon, you know, we will do this and do that, and they are imagining, dreaming so many things. And then ahead of them there is a path shown. There is a board put there, path to destruction, there is a board put there. And then ahead of them there is a steep valley in which all of them one after another are falling into that. And there is another road which is leading in another direction where few are going. And then initially there are many and then it becomes a little thinner. And then it's almost like a single file. And then it goes, and they go inside, it's almost like a single file. There is a boat put up there, the kingdom of God. And then few are going inside. It is said only the meek and humble can inherit the kingdom of God. So when we submit it to God and His instructions, so He treads that path and at last achieves the kingdom of God. Whereas all these people who were very happily merrymaking, eat, drink and be merry, they all were ultimately led to the path of destruction, like that. The majority of the world is going in that direction. So here, we see Krishna speaking of two kinds of people. He is calling one person as an introspective sage, on one side. On the other side, there is a common man. And both these people's activities are totally different. We can easily see that. You know, you must have heard the story of a sage who was one sitting in the thick forest. He was sitting in the forest under a tree. The birds were chirping. There was a nice waterfall. And he was just sitting close to the waterfall and he was chanting the Lord's names, completely absorbed in great happiness. So one man who was going to the villa car, who was passing by through that forest, he came to eat his lunch there. He kept his cart aside and he came and under the tree they were eating. And he saw his face sitting there and he asked him, "What are you doing? Why don't you do some job? Why are you wasting your life sitting here, idling here?" And they asked him, "What are you doing?" Man said, "Oh, I am going up to the cart in the morning and by the present this evening I will reach there and I will give this goods and then when I return back, you know, I will get some 400 rupees. I will get some money, 400 rupees. So in this way, then they said, "What do you do with 400 rupees? Then he said, "I will go every day like this and I earn lots of money. So only I am planning to buy a tractor afterwards. And they said, "I will buy bigger and bigger vehicles." And then what do you do? Then he said, "Oh, instead of 400, I'll be probably earning 2,000, 3,000 rupees a day." Then what do you do? After that, why should I worry? I'll employ servants. And then I'll have a big farm, I'll do this, do that, I'll get married, I'll have sons, daughters. Then what do you do? I'll get my sons and daughters married. And we'll build a big bungalow and everything. Then what do you do? Then what is that worry after that? Then I'll be a big bird. Then I'll be relaxing. Just like you are relaxing, I'll relax. He said, "That's what I'm doing right now." He said, "What you're doing after so many years, I'm already doing. I have all my time for God." So they say, when sitting and chanting God's name, here at Krishna's introspective stage, he has a particular goal in life. While the other person, he has another goal in life. So if you compare the two types of people that Krishna is talking about, what is night for one person is day for another person, he said. This reminds me of my college days. In the college, I used to sleep at about 9 o'clock in the night. And morning, we would get up at about 3, 3.30, so that we can chant our rounds. And that is the time our boys would be winding up their volleyball, and then they would all be, you know, drinking water, and, you know, going to bed, almost preparing to go to bed. And this is like 4 in the morning. And then they would get up at 8.30 or so. Then they had to come to college, 8.30 or 9 or whatever. Many of them don't even watch their teeth while going to college. Just directly get up in the bed and they'll be in the college. So I used to think of this word that all the, not only me, all the spiritualists, the spiritualists generally, they get to bed early and they rise early so that they can do their spiritual duty in the morning in the Brahma Muhurtam time, which is considered very auspicious for the spiritual duties. And the other people, generally, how do they, especially if you go to Bombay, you will find that a man comes back to the factory or company at about 8.39 when the company, that is considered too early actually. Return back and then he'll come home, he will fresh up, you know, he will do some things. And then along with his wife and children, they leave home by about 10 o'clock, take him a big car, and then they will go to the marketplace, they will go to some hotel, they will go to some ice cream parlor somewhere, or go to some movie, and by the time they return, probably it will be like 2 o'clock or so, 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock. Then they return to bedtime. So, this is the kind of life we are seeing in cities nowadays, see like that. Is that what Krishna means here? Maybe you can say to some extent it's understanding to be correct. But actually what Krishna is speaking here, tales of consciousness. He is saying that there are people who are headed only towards materialism. Materialism is their only goal. And the other person introspective says, his goal is a spiritual goal. So we can ask ourselves the question, what is my goal in life? Some people are heading simply towards material goals. And they have nothing else in life. In fact, part of spirituality is a myth. Or it's like it doesn't exist for them. All the goal is how to have a healthy body. Sometimes they don't worry about a healthy body. In fact, they work so hard that even the body starts like that. The goal is actually acquire abundant amount of wealth and unlimited sense of gratification. All kinds of enjoyment. So to put it in simple words, it is eat, drink and be merry. That is the slogan of one category. Who do not know anything about the knowledge of soul, the knowledge of God, where is life leading us to? They never even ask the questions at all in their life. But the other category is a person who clearly understands that I am not this body, I am pure spirit soul. There is spiritual world, and what we are living in the material world, and I have to go back to God. These are the two people Krishna is speaking about here. So that is why, when one comes to Krishna consciousness, when you do Krishna consciousness activities, the middle-aged people that sometimes even call you abnormal, they say, when did you become abnormal like this? You have to ask them, who is abnormal? We are abnormal or you are abnormal? So, this to understand it will take some time. Now, let's ask this question. Again, coming back to the question of what is the goal of our life? We all want to be happy. How can you become happy? So, there was a very song in Pasadena. We used to hear that song. One man, he went in pursuit of happiness. He was searching happiness everywhere. First he thought, happiness will come to me if I earn some money. He accumulated a lot of money. But then he thought that with money, he could purchase some happiness, some pleasures. Because money is the means by which you can exchange happiness, isn't it? Like you want to eat nice foodstuffs, or you want to have a nice place of accommodation to stay, or you want to have nice furniture, facilities. Then the money is required, especially in the modern times. So he also thought money will bring me happiness. And he had a lot of money. But then he found that even with money, he wasn't happy. Then he got a wife, he got children, he got friends. Then he got into wine, he got into smoking, he got into all kinds of habits in the world. And then he even travels all parts of the world. He went to Germany, he went to Europe, he went to England, he went to America, all parts of the world, he went on tour. He could not get happiness anywhere. At last, he understood that happiness actually lies at the feet of God. Actually, he sings the song himself, the person who was searching after that. He goes everywhere and all of the world, at last he accepted this. Because you also heard of Rockefeller, isn't it? You know, Rockefeller's son, he was doing a research about cannibals. That was his field of research. And he had go to a particular island to conduct more research on cannibals. So he had arranged a big group of people to help him in the research. Practically dozens of people who were coming in another boat. And he was going in one boat. But his boat reached ahead of those people. And those people are actually following at little distance, a half a kilometer away they were coming. But this boy was too curious to go into the island and see the people. So he was staying in binocular and everything. But as soon as he got into the island, immediately the cannibals came and attacked him, cut him into pieces in ATM. In an island, Rockefeller was one of the richest people. So, he was in one of the interviews. He was telling how I can never be happy in life, although I have the greatest of the wealth in the entire world. He was one of the top three rich people in the world. That fellow had a very particular type of disease. Every day, whenever he had to pass urine, he would feel a severe excruciating pain in the urinary, in the where he has to pass urine. And it caused such a severe pain, and the doctor told him that every time he has to pass urine, he has to call the doctor, that has been checked out. You know, what is this? It's called urania, or this is called urania, inability to pass urine. So he had a complicated disease which caused him severe pain. So when the reporters were asking him, what is your such a rich man? What comes to your mind? Which is the thing that you remember the most in your life? And they thought he must be saying something about some movies, you know, or some friends, or about the riches that he enjoyed. But he said, don't ask me this question. Because the thing that I remember the most is the moment when I left Father Guru. He said, so that causes such a pain. So what is he going to do with all his money? Even after earning so much life. So the point is, we all are suffering in this world, and our goal is satisfaction. We can't deny that. Like these men, they had riches, but they had some complications in their life. They had to suffer, and everyone says it's complicated in this world. There is no single individual or family or religious friends. And one can say that I have no problem, I'm happy forever. We can never say that. We all have problems. Life. And these pains are experienced individually and collectively as an individual, as a family. So we want to get out of the suffering. So we have a formula for that. How can I get out of that? We all have our own individual formula. So the materialistic people think that by adjusting the situation in which I am in, I can become happy. This is the way the materialist thinks. Like, for example, Hiranyakashipu. He was the heart for materialism, the ideal example of materialism, Hiranyakashipu. So Hiranyakashipu thought that Krishna is my enemy because he killed my brother. I will acquire power by which I will kill Hiranyakashipu. I will kill Krishna. That was his idea. And he thought that why good people are going to heaven and enjoying and becoming demigods. That can reverse the results of pious and impious activity. Those who are good should go to hell, and those who are bad should go to heaven. That was his formula. And he wanted to do that, and he performed such a penance, very penance for Brahmaji. And Brahma appeared and offered him many predictions. In fact, he asked Brahma that I should become the recipient of all the offerings given to all the gods within the whole universe. Everyone should salute me. Everyone should bow down to me. Everyone should glorify my name. And I should receive all the gifts from everyone in the creation. And I should not be killed on land or killed on sky. I should not be killed by a human being or by an animal, etc. All kinds of combinations possibly thought of. And he thought that now I have become practically immortal. Because Brahmaji could not avoid immortality directly. So he used a trick in this way to achieve immortality. So everyone is for the same goal. We want to become the superman or superwoman or whatever. On one hand. And we also want to become immortal. We don't want to die. That means we want unlimited enjoyment forever. With all possibilities, we want to go on. Just like we hear the stories like Cinderella or Snow White and Red Rose. And then the hero and heroine, they happily lived ever after. That's what the story is. Although there is a way, story is the end, it doesn't happen in real life, isn't it? Real life, what do you see in real life? Actually, in cinema they show only the colorful part of life. They show the hero, they may show the heroine, they may show the great song, and the story ends there. After that, they don't show the other part of life. When you go, there are many practical examples that we have in our life. Do they show the heroine suffering from pregnancy? Do they show the hero suffering from some brain tumor or cancer or, you know, breaking his leg, which often happens in this world. Many people, complicated diseases. They don't talk about them suffering a lot of money. So you don't find the red part, and they never show you, especially the point when you are living it very old, and they are most in that bed. It's hardly shown. So when you say another part of this world, it looks very attractive. But in our practical life, We all have to face inevitably disease, old age, death and all that. That is why every Garanika wanted to become immortal, live forever. With all this data. Do you know, in Garanika period, he was such a powerful man, he had performed such penances, that in off season he got mangled. Even in off season, he gets mangled only during the seventh season. Even when it was out of season, in all the seasons, he could get all the stuff he wanted. He would go to the garden and say, where are the beautiful flowers? Immediately the nature would show all the beautiful flowers. He could get flowers, fruits, grains, cereals, anything that he wanted, all kinds of metals, anything that he wanted, he could get. In fact, whenever he wanted rain, the rain would shower. When he didn't want rain, he could stop it and the sun would come in the sky. Practically, other than Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, the three prominent deities, he controlled everyone in the creation. He was so mighty and so powerful. In our modern times also, modern civilization is just like Hiranyakashipu civilization. They are very powerful. The comparison is very appropriate because Hiranyakashipu did not make these things happen by performance of yajna for the satisfaction of God. He actually exploited the nature. He performed the physical balance and actually the nature was doing all these things out of fear for him. All the different deities are avoiding different things out of their fear for him. Similarly, the modern sense of man uses the nature to exploit the resources of the nature to do the things. Everything can see how, for example, extracting the oil, deep hole drilling, not only on land, but they're doing on ocean also. And deep hole drilling and getting the petroleum extract and then separating them into different elements and so that you get gasoline and petrol. Actually, this is generally not done at the very time. But now the gasoline is causing so much pollution, we can see. It is causing trouble. And in this way, man is taking the resources of God, exploit the resources of God for his own benefit. And then enjoy life. The best thing possible. Like that. In fact, you see how they are putting manual and everything on earth to create more, more rain on earth, or how to make the tomato more plumpy, how to make the fruits ripe more fastly. Everything is wanted instant. It's like instant Italy and instant gulab jam. One devotee was cooking the other day in our kitchen. So he was making some instant gulab jam packet he bought from the market. The moment he found the instant cockroach coming out and started flying. So everything is instant. In America, I heard they even have cut vegetables already kept in packets, ready, kept in the fridge. In the morning, because you have to go to the office, class, you just cut one side of the cover and put the cut vegetables in the cooking anyway. So everything they want instant. Here also, really, I have to update my food. So they want instant. So Hiranyakashipu was getting like that, everything instant. Whatever they wanted, they would get immediately. So modern civilization could be compared to Hiranyakashipu civilization. It was very powerful. Anything he wanted, it was available. But what was the biggest problem? Although he got everything, he was always drunken on wine. And his eyes were reeling like copper balls. And he had the best of everything in life. But somehow he was not happy because his one small son, Prahlad, was not saluting him. He was not accepting that he is supreme. Hiranyakashipu is supreme. He was glorifying me. Now you compare Hiranyakashipu on one side and Prahlad on the other. They are the people being spoken about. Kind of people. One, Prahlad is an introspective face who is always absorbed in thoughts of Vishnu. In fact, when Hiranyakashipu's wife Kayadu was pregnant, the demigod headed by Indra, they were very uptight that already Hiranyakashipu is going to father to perform penances, they will have the whole world. Now his son will become even a greater demon. Better that let us take Kayadu to heaven, and after the child is born, will kill the child. That was our idea. But then Narada said, this child, instead of the womb of Kayadu, don't think he's an ordinary boy. He's a Mahabharata devotee of Krishna. So she doesn't deserve to be given the children. And all the demigods at once bowed down to Narayana. And Sakuma raised his prayer three times because Mahabharata was present in the room. And then they went away. And Narayana kept Kayal with Ashram and he spoke to her the Bhagavad Dharma. What is Bhagavad Dharma? Bhagavad Dharma, to put it in a very simple word, Bhagavad Dharma speaks about who is God, who am I, what is my loving relationship with God. That's what Bhagavad Dharma teaches. Who are the innocent? I am not this body, this is simply a shell, empty shell. This body is compared to a house. Just like in a house we have pillars, that is in this body we have ribs, bones in the body. Just like the house is cemented with paints and nice painting on the top. Similarly, this body is also tasted with flesh and on top of that is skin, like that. Just like in a house, house flush with water, liquids. Body also has many liquids like blood and water and everything. But in a house there is a resident. Without the resident, the house has nothing. Similarly, this body is the resident. So this is the knowledge of the soul. We are designing this body. And God is explaining how God is the supreme lover, supreme hero, supreme object of everyone's love. And there is a eternal relation between soul and God. That is what is spoken in Bhagavad Gita. How to divide that love? That love is already there, you know. So this Bhagavad Dharma was spoken by Narada Muni to Kayal originally. But then who was hearing it? Kayal was hearing it. When I had got to South, I heard from family, one mother tried it. When she was pregnant, she was also hearing lot of kirtan and everything. When the child was born, it was very good. Boy, when she takes the child in front of God, immediately he would pull his mouth, automatically. Then his mom said, just a few months, when he just came in front of God, immediately pull his mouth, like that. So, although the child may be in the womb, the child is capable of hearing everything. He's taking all that. That's why the mothers always should keep good vibrations, especially when they're pregnant. Because the vibrations that you take in, whatever what you eat, what you contemplate on with your mind, and what you hear, in what circumstances that you live, these things actually matter a lot. So Kayadu, she was too much worried about her husband, Hiranyakashi, on one hand. And she was also very much frightened that the demigod came to kill her child and things like that. So she was very attractive. But Prahlada was very attractive. He heard everything. And Prahlada was born, he was a great, very great devotee, right from his birth. And his completion mind was absorbed in Vishnu so much. He so says that later, that just like a man who is attacked, I am silent. Like that he said, my heart is attracted to Lord Vishnu. Automatically. My mind is going spontaneously to Lord Vishnu. That's like a materialistic person's mind will spontaneously go to enjoyment of this world. Like that Prahlada's mind was going to towards Lord Vishnu. So his nature was diametrically opposite to that of his father. So his father sent him to the Gurukul. But then Gurukul, when Prahlada heard about politics, about enemies and friends, about sociology, politics, economics, he really hated the subject. He never liked counting money. He never liked considering somebody as an enemy, somebody as a friend. He really hated that kind of treatment with anybody. He could see that everyone is a soul. Everyone is servant of Krishna. And everyone is Lord of the devotee. He never saw any difference. So he just could not tolerate such education given to him. That is why when once his father calls him, not him, not once, twice, several times he calls him, three, four times he calls him, but one of those times, when he calls him and asks him, my dear child, tell me what is the highest education in this world? What do you think is the highest education? Kala said, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmani Vedanam Iti Pumsa Pita Vishnu Patriche Navalakshana Kriyeta Bhagavati Arta Tanmanye Ajitam Tama. He said, my dear father, these nine activities, he said, Shravanam, Kirtanam. Shravanam is hearing about God, like what you are doing. Shravanam, Kirtanam is speaking about God, singing His glories. Smaranam, remembering God in the mind with great love. And Archanam is offering puja with a lot of offering flowers. Vandanam is offering prayers. Palakaranam is serving his lotus feet like Hanuman. And Dasyam means becoming a servant of God. Sakyam, developing a friendly relationship with God. And Atmani Vedram, completely surrendering, just like Bali Maharaj, totally surrendering himself to God. Like that. He said, this is actually the reality. Not like that. He said, Anmanye Adhita Uttama. Anybody who has acquired the knowledge to do this thing, I consider that person to be the one who has achieved the highest level of education in life, he said. I don't know what Balavudar said about the colleges of the modern time. You can ask Balavudar to come in. Colleges hardly teach about this thing. First of all, they don't even teach you that you are not the body well. You are just taught only about it. Everything about matter. You are taught about solids, taught about liquids, taught about gas, taught about sound, and the psychiatry, psychology, about mind, intelligence and ego, and the knowledge stops there. It doesn't go beyond the dead. So what we are learning is only Jadavidya. And the Jadavidya, it does not help in any spiritual culture. Prabhupada is saying, how in the modern time, even after acquiring so much of knowledge of Jadavidya, we can see that boy, how they become like rowdy. That's the meaning of rowdy. Rowdy means a person who behaves ruthlessly, like they don't respect the elders. Prabhupada is in the Vedic times, when a young boy traveling in a bus or a train, even if he has to smoke a cigarette, he has to ask his neighbor, there's an old man in the neighborhood, sir, can I smoke? With his permission, he will do that. But nowadays, people smoke on his face. Just don't care. They don't care for the mother and father. They don't care for the grandfather, grandmother. They laugh at them actually. They make good jokes about them. They are good fun. In fact, they openly tell them that you are all gone. I saw an advertisement in the train. What is it in the old people they call it as? Those are the 60s, for them they have written nice love. Something like that is used, something like that. Life begins at 60 or something like that. To satisfy that. Life begins at 60. Something like that, to show that old people don't worry that you are not respected by your son or grandson. You also have some life now. Don't worry. So in the modern times you will see that people are getting people education, but first of all, they don't have respect. Point they don't have. They don't have any culture. They don't have any regulation or restriction and habits. They can do anything. You can behave with anybody in any way you want. And corruption and criminalism have gone to very great heights worldwide. But even in global when 1965, the corruption was so high in America. In fact, a survey was taken. In the 1940s, the problems that they would face in the schools was like, you know, children would be eating chewing gum and sticking it under the table. That kind of problems with that. But in the 50s and 60s, they found the children are absent in the school. Absentee. That was a major problem. They wouldn't come to school at all. They would come up to the school, parents would drop them to school, they would go to the movie. Like that. This happened in America. And then in the 80s, the problems are becoming more severe. The children are quarreling and fighting and beating one another. Mob fighting. And then as the problems grew, in the 80s and 90s, children started, even at a young age, having sex in the schools. You can imagine them bringing kids to have sex in the school. Then they were the 8th standard, 9th standard. They used the school for enjoying the sex relations, like that. But now, in the 2000, what do you think? Shooting the teachers, shooting the other children, for no reason. So, they are getting worse. So, are we progressing in the modern civilization? More and more. Are we getting ahead or are we going behind? We have to ask the question. As we get a party by children going out of control. In fact, they made a survey of the number of teachers who stay in a school. They found out that more than 50% of teachers, they leave the school within the first 3 or 4 years. They join the school and they leave very fast. Because the children don't respect the teachers, children take half of the school. So this is how the modern civilization is making some kind of so-called progress, as they call it. So Hiranya Kashipu's realization is that he was getting everything in life, but he wasn't happy at all. Similarly, modern civilization gives him everything, But then everything is like toxic energy. You cannot experience happiness. Except happiness, everything else will get. You will have everything. You have money.
You have nice buildings. You have nice electronic gadgets to use. But there is no...
That's like they said, somebody may give you a shelter for your body, but they cannot give shelter for your mind. Somebody can give you... That's a very nice poem which talks about this. Somebody may give you a lot of things to eat, but they cannot appease your actual hunger. That's a poem which talks about different things like how we cannot actually get that love and happiness with all this. Anybody who suffered like that. And at last, one boy not respecting him, this Prahlada, that disturbed him so much. This Kali Yuga which we are living now is said to be an age of disturbance. They get disturbed at the least provocation. Just see the trains or the buses. People, how they quarrel, you see? Small thing, insignificant thing, meaningless thing. And two or three people start quarreling, barking at one another like dogs. Ultimately, if you go and see what was the matter, there would be nothing. People quarrel very, very far away. And their minds are very disturbed. And they work very, very hard. So this is the hard working material life. That's the way the material people live their life. Very hard to accumulate all material possessions with no connection to God. That is the life. You heard of the story of city rat and village rat? There was a rat living in the village very happily, peacefully. But a city rat saw the condition of the village rat and he laughed at him. He said, "Well, if you come to a city, you will get far more happiness there." And he got the village rat. Village rat of course, and beautiful family. So they went to a very beautiful marble bungalow, which was bungalow of a very big industrial village, very huge. And they entered and the table was full of varieties of eatables like, there were varieties of curries and sweet rice, pakoda, many, many more. There were 56 items kept on the table, different bowls. So the village people had never seen a thing like this ever before in my life. And today I said, just see, that's why I got to have sumptuous, as much as you want. And they both started eating. And the village had his spirit slow always, anything he had, he did. There was this one cigarette was sculpting down very fast. And all of a sudden, they both heard a big sound. Like there was a sound. And the village rat was ridden with anger. He turned around. Just 2 inches ahead of them, there was a big stick which was on the table. Somebody was sitting on the table with a big stick. And he turned left and he didn't find the cigarette. He was absconding. And immediately he also jumped from the table, jumped down the chair and ran to the same hole where they both were living. Somehow or other he reached the hole. And then he asked. And they were breathing and breathing heavily for a long time. And the village was like, "What happened? Why did you leave me alone on the table? You ran away. I heard a big sound. What was that?" "I just answered the lightning and thunder is striking on my head. Tell me what happened." And Chitty just smiled and said, "Nothing, don't worry. This is a common experience for me, everyday experience." "What is it? What is the everyday experience?" He said, "See, whenever you go on the table, you have to be a little careful. Because my wife, he takes it and head. Oh, what would have happened if I was not to see? You would have died." The village had said, "I have never felt such a threat in my village. I used to live in the field and I was getting into broken rice and things like that. There was no threat for me." I think after that. So the village said, "Better me let me return to the village." I went back. So what is the concept is a very deep lesson. There are many people who leave the village and come to the field. For many reasons, either increase their safety in the village, for their sons the parents can tell them and has gone to the field. Like those are village, the farmers are happy. The things are much. My son is in Bombay, he's in Pune. And those are Pune or Bombay, they want to say that my son is in Boston or Boston. They want to say like this. And those are in America, probably they have sent them to another planet. To be proud like this. Everyone wants to go to another place to become more famous. And then people come to the field. But how much they earn for LIQ, for the enjoyment of LIQ, the master makes work very hard. You feel like that. material life is very hard work. Maybe a handful can enjoy life. If you go to the companies like Bajaj, Auto, Bajaj, and you see, many people come to this living villages, but they work very hard. Now, what they say, does that mean that you should not have any ambition in life? In fact, especially young people, they want some adventure in life. Why can't we come to the city and take this and work hard and earn lots of money and go to America and do something in life? Why don't you do something? It's fun. Some people say like that. Of course, it may be fun, but you have to discriminate between what is adventure and what is foolhardiness. They both are not from that amateur apple. Some amount of adventures and these will be thrilling, but a foolhardiness will lead us to hell. Just like sometimes you see a boy, he takes a bike, show the girl his masculinity. So thank you again, take the bike. And all the girls should flutter their ears and say, my Lord, he's really a hero. That's what can happen. Sometimes he drives so fast to get into your lorry underneath. In the same way, in the name of adventure, people think we are working hard and we are becoming famous, we are earning more and enjoying life. But the purpose of economic development is happiness, credit, loss. They get everything except happiness. Because the minds are warm and all the time connecting on. How can I tackle this boss? How can I finish this project? Oh, for God, nowadays they give you mobile. Mobile appears very attractive. Mobile is called as the fourth mode. You all know the three modes? Goodness, passion, ignorance, and mobile is the fourth mode. Even in a bathroom, sit in there, keep it bound. So, we think the advancement has more freedom, but actually they bind us much, much more. So, even if you also are going higher, but then at last what happened? They say, Punamushtika Bhava. Heard of Punamushtika Bhava? The rat, him, cat, cat, dog, dog, him, tiger, and then the tiger wants to eat the face. He told him, Punamushtika Bhava. That's why, but scientists are predicting that in another 2 or 3 decades, many human beings will be living underground. Because there may be a threat of Star Wars. You know what is Star Wars? Star Wars was the latest method of completely wiping out the entire continent. We can wipe out the whole continent by arranging nuclear weapons. So they are arranging it in the space. So they are arranging it in such a way that here you press one button, the whole continent can be wiped out. That means Russia and America, both of them press each other's button, what will happen? Both of them will be wiped out completely. This is that plan. And who are the people who are keeping the finger behind the button? They are not self control stages. They are the scientists whose mind is absolutely not controlled. Anytime they can press the button out of sheer anger. So we are living in such a world of threat. So we are advanced a lot, but we are going to destroy ourselves by that time. So in any case, whose advancement led to his own destruction because of our godless. That was the problem. So he was pursuing a path without God, appeared very attractive. But going higher and higher and higher, seeking more and more happiness and enjoyment. Like Vidura made a very sensitive statement to Duryodhana once. Once Vidura told Duryodhana, you are so mad after acquiring this kingdom and wealth and everything. But I can tell you, your position is exactly like a man who is climbing up in a mountain higher and higher and higher. Without looking back, it goes so high, looking at a honeycomb to gather that comb. But then it trips and falls from the top. And he rolls her down. And he completely breaks his all his bones and he dies completely. Only I'm going higher and higher. Similarly, meditation also was apparently progressing. Any common man would say, just see, he could control the rain, he could control the winds, he could control the sun, he could control the seasons. You can't do practically anything. This is what we want. I get what is his name? What I want. This is Hrinyakashipu formula. I get what I want. Actually, 99% of the people in the world don't get what they want. That's why you know, put this over. See, the advertisements say exactly opposite to what you get in the world. If you don't get what you want, what is there? I get what I want. If you smoke a cigarette and burn your lungs, they will write,
cool.
They will write like that. Exactly the opposite. They have to actually tell you what you are looking for, what you are hankering for, what you are not able to get. So by that they can fool you very easily. That's what they are trying. So, Hiranyakashipu caught everything, which ultimately led to his own destruction. When Lord Narasimhadev came, Lord Narasimhadev was so intelligent, he took into account everything. He didn't come as a human being, he didn't come as an animal, he didn't kill him in the sky, he didn't kill him on man, he put him on a sky, isn't it? And how God broke open his intestines and broke open his stomach and put it on his neck. Lord came as a ferocious form of Narasimhadev. Similarly, Lord and Narasimhadev are extremely powerful. When these material people break the law of God, see, the nature is so created that if you don't read the Bhagavad Gita scripture and you don't follow the laws of God, then the nature will teach you a good lesson by experience. You are but experience is the best teacher. But you know the second part? But a fool learns by no other way. It is the second part. What it means is that those who don't hear the Shastra, like Bhagavad Gita, and apply in their life, then they have to learn through experience. Then the nation will give to, like you can see, somebody goes for religious connection, then they get aid. Somebody goes for any habit one has, then it has a counter attacking them. The nation, it's actually designed by them. Designed by God, nature is a simple nature. We cannot be happy without God. Then we should try it. And in certain ways, he has everything in the world, but he wasn't happy. Without Krishna, without the company of God, we can never become happy. That is why this kind of materialistic person's life is like a one-sided attempt. That is doomed to frustration. One can never become happy. Because you will see that the pain of the world is always chasing us like a shadow. You cannot escape. You have seen the dog sometimes. The dog turns towards his own shadow. The shadow is bigger than the dog. He becomes upset and starts running away. More he runs, he sees shadow is following him. It never sees him. Similarly, the suffering in this world is never given. You will see that no matter how many things you have in this world, suffering always chases you. That is why an introspective thing or a devotee points that Prahlad Maharaj made an interesting point. He said, when Lord Krishna killed him, killed Hiranyakashipu, in one of the prayers, Prahlad Maharaj told the Lord, "My dear Lord, I have seen that when my father Hiranyakashipu would look towards the heaven, towards the Devata, and twist his eyebrow, seeing his great anger, all the demigods would shiver by great out of great fear. But then even such a great personality like my father, who made the whole universe tremble along with all the rulers of the universe. Even such a father of mine, such a father, you put him on your lap and you broke him to pieces. Such is your power. So in this world, everyone is under your control. So it's better for me to completely surrender to you," he said. That is reality. You know? So there is no one or anything beyond God's control. Everything is under his control. So this is the intelligence of the introspective state. He understands that this kind of hedonistic materialism that is headed only towards accumulating more and more material objects for one's own enjoyment, selfish enjoyment, without reference to God, keeping God in mind, will never give me happiness. We should be convinced about that. If you are convinced, then you have to learn it by experience. And we will learn. Nature will give us good lessons. And we will learn it. Just like somebody is climbing out of a 10-story building. And he jumps from there. And I didn't tell you something, maybe second story. Jumps from there. He breaks his head. You tell him, if you jump from there, you will break your leg. And he's not going to try. Okay, sorry, you climb up. And then you jump from there, you will break your leg. And you'll be in hospital. The next time you won't do it. But then there are some people who say that, actually I didn't jump at a proper angle. Maybe next time I'll try again. But this is really so there are people who go on their material life again and again, repeatedly, same thing again and again. And they get up. They will suffer like that. But the interesting thing is, our devotee is one who understands all these things. But any amount of negative adjustment, we cannot become happy in this world. Simply the neglect. Just like in a tea show, sometimes the parents get tired making a pancake. Sometimes the parents laugh at the child. He's foolish in making a pancake. The waves are going to come up. Finish it off. In a same way, the child may be making a cat for a few minutes. But then we make many, many catches in our life, many ideas, without God. But then all these things will be wiped out in time. So the devotee knows that. That is what comes there is like. And things will not last for long. Everything is not going to be with me. It's going to be with us for 8 years, 100 years, whatever time. That is why we should know I am not the body, I am the soul. Because the materialistic people, they never think of the soul at all. For them, this one lifetime is all enough. In fact, this one lifetime is everything. They don't know anything about our God. Now they want to know. Because they know that as soon as they talk about God, then they have to obey the laws of God. So they don't want to know. But a specialist, he is in a different plane. He knows about God, he knows his God. And even the pure life. In fact, the previous verses they have been saying, I think one of the purpose, how wonderfully explained here. Unless the senses are engaged in the transcendental service of the God, there is every chance of a fall. The Krishnamurti person is although the person is in full Krishnamurti, may apparently be on the nature of the thing, because of the being Krishnamurti, there is no attachment to sensual activities. So the previous passage, if you remember, we have been talking about controlling the senses, which is unknown to a materialist. The materialist actually simply allows the senses to go in all directions. That is why many times they get into trouble. Anybody who is not controlled their senses, they will get into trouble very easily. Anybody wants to lose in other senses, want to know what is it like? It's like allowing the fire horse to go in 5 different directions while sitting in a chariot. Imagine all the horses going in all directions. The whole chariot will topple like that. Suddenly you will see people who are uncontrolled. Many times they do wrong things. And when they do wrong things, when things go bad, then other people become disturbed. And they become angry with them, and then there is the emotional surge, and they lose their temper, they break out, they beat people up. Sometimes it can go to physical level also. And then in order to forget all this trauma, what they do? They take to bad habits, so that you can forget all this. Again, you'll be back to Friday. So, uncontrolled senses, they really practically killers. It's even worse than killing the other. When senses are not controlled, it is worse than killing, Because if you kill actually the person dies. But the senses will torture us like the famous devotee. A devotee has come over and said, poetry. He says, Bhavod Bhavad Klesha. Bhavod Bhavad Klesha Shataha Sahata. Indriya Parikramana Kapadantre. Niyamgatam. He Madhava Manohyara. Tadakri Tadakri Shantro. Hidapati Pandare. It's very meaningful. He's saying, my dear Lord Krishna, my mind is like an untethered heart. You have seen heart, how he rose by lifting his 2 legs. In the water, you can see how he makes heart. And imagine you have seen on the back side of the back of the heart. The heart is lifting both the legs and making a huge sound. How does it feel? It lets me make you fall on the ground. My senses are so wild. And this heart is running in all directions. And I am pulling the rope, but I have no control. He is dragging me. Every time you run far around, I am being dragged on the ground and I am leaving the trolley. So he is praying to the Lord, at least kindly take the mind, take the heart from your mind, take the ropes in your hands and you tie it to your pole. And he is comparing the Lord's feet to your pole. So come, you tie it to your lotus feet, tie my mind to your feet, so that the mind will not wander like that. You all can ask yourself this question. Individually, I am not going to give any example, but individually, the last time, when you have seen that our mind and our senses have gone wild, and we will be forced to do things which you never wanted to do. We have spoken things which you never wanted to speak. We have contemplated on things which we should never think of. Such dirty things, that's nasty things. We think, we speak and do things which we would never want to do as the same human being. That is why I was telling in the last class that if you want the satisfaction of the senses, that limited insanity. Only if you allow yourself to go to insanity, then the senses will not demand anymore because they have no more power. And you understand, they are perfectly crazy. Senses will take us to that path. So this can be seen from various examples how a person can, as we saw, high low chance of interpretation for that. I was telling, I was giving a very simple light example. I didn't give a very heavy example. I was telling, sometimes everyone is given only 2 gulab jamun. I was telling, isn't it? In your house, there might be 2 for each. And you can't get more than 2. But then sometimes what do you feel? Oh, I feel like getting more than 2 now. No? Then you believe that somebody else won't get it. Isn't it? Okay, if he doesn't get it, I don't mind. But then he gets it. Then this becomes so uncontrolled sometimes. It's just at the cost of other sannyasins we consider. In the same way, in all things, whether it is business people, whether it is in your friendship circle, you know, you can see that many times you don't control senses, you have become unpopular. Many times you can ask questions yourself, you will see that. Uncontrolled senses really make us regret later. We have to regret the guilt later. So we have to control the senses. That's why he's saying, unless the senses are engaged in the transcendental service of Krishna, they will be gone far. And a Krishna-conscious person is concerned only with the satisfaction of Krishna, nothing else. Therefore, he is transcendental to all attachments in avasya. If Krishna wants, the devotee can do anything with it. Okay. Further, he says here, therefore, one is not in Krishna-consciousness, that cannot be a final goal for the mind. Disturbance is due to want of an ultimate goal. And when one is certain that Krishna is the enjoyer, proprietor, and friend of everyone and everything, then one can, with a steady mind, bring about peace. And here he is saying, as enemies are curbed by a superior force, senses can be similarly curbed, not by any human endeavor, but only by keeping them engaged in the service of the Lord. One who has understood this, that only by Krishna consciousness, is one really established in intelligence, and that one should practice this art under the guidance of the Guru is called the Sadhaka, or a suitable candidate for liberation. So Prabhupada explains here that such uncontrolled mind and senses cannot be controlled by artificial restraint. They have to actually be controlled by superior practice of Krishna consciousness. Same point is repeated here. Materialistic persons remain asleep in such a night due to their ignorance of self-realization. Whereas the introspective devotee, he remains alert in the night of the materialistic man. The devotee feels transitive pleasure in the gradual advancement of Krishna consciousness. Whereas the man in materialistic activity, being asleep to self-realization, dreams of varieties of sense pleasures, feeling sometimes happy, sometimes disturbed in his sleeping condition. The introspective man is always indifferent to materialistic happiness and distress. So, we all have intelligence, and it is up to us, how do we want to use the intelligence? Like a fool, what does he do? Use his intelligence to endeavor to squeeze out some kind of happiness into this world. So, this is like the condition of a sleeping man. Sometimes you have seen people, the lying in the bed, they will not be stressed. You see? For that you have to be awake, you see that. You are also sick, you can't see that. If you are away, you can see sometimes sitting person is laughing, smiling, saying something. Some people have this walking habit in the street also. They may walk up the door, open the portal, and then start walking outside. Sometimes they sleep, they are laughing. Sometimes they are crying. They feel that a tiger is chasing them. They cry, and all of them jump up on the bed and make a big sound. Everyone is able to get better. Like that. So that's a dream. So that may be a 6-hour dream or 8-hour dream. But our life is like an 80-year dream. Awesome. This is also not, this is also considered a dream. Why is it considered a dream? Because all our roads and boats we assume now are temporary. Now somebody is thinking, I am a mother, I am a father, I am a child, I am an engineer, I am a doctor, I am this, I am that. You are identified with the body. How long does this identity last? It will go away. When they die, the atma comes out and takes another body. So it is also considered like a dream. It's considered something like a dream. So when you come to Krishna consciousness, you should always remember this fact when you come to this fact. The most underlying philosophy can be put in a few words. I am a pure spirit soul, but somehow or other, I have fallen prey to illusion, and I am now taking souls and goes wandering in this world. In a particular body, I'm there with me. But I am actually pure spirit soul, I belong to the spiritual world. I don't belong to the material world. So my goal in life, what is my goal in life? To relinquish this body at the time of death, and then achieve the pure platform of becoming a servant of God, to serve in the spiritual world. Everyone, some of the people sitting in the lecture are Mataji, some are Babaji, some are children. But ultimately, each of these bodies are there. Everyone has an individual. And we all have a life in Krishna. And depending on how seriously we take Krishna consciousness in our life, that degree we can evolve. We can evolve more and more, understand Krishna better. So you will find that's a kind of tug of war going in your heart. All of you will see that. One thing devotees are pulling you. Come to classes. Please chant more rounds. Chant at Krishna more. See, the spiritual world is awaiting you there. This world is never going to become better. This is a material world. Dukkalaya. So devotees are crying. And you look at devotees, they are going to be happy also. So you think maybe I should become a devotee like that. Another thing is materialistic friends will call, come on! What is this? These days you become abnormal. That's why I was telling in the beginning. They call you as abnormal. What is this? This new direction you have started. And seeing that you are becoming too serious. Come on, have some fun in life. So they say, you see, God and all is all right. Once a month, or once in a year, in Janmashtami, I think it's all right. What is this? You have captured God and you are sitting with Him all the time. Come on, it's too much. And with a few chanting, 6 rounds, 8 rounds, 10 rounds, my God, they can't tolerate things becoming serious. Because materialistic friends, they want company. They want materialistic company. So they want to become materialistic also. Just like whatever they are doing. So, if you have become mature, if you have become more of a devotee, when you look at them, what you will see? You feel sorry for them. You may see that they are decorating themselves so nicely. They are going through all kinds of things. They are having all kinds of things. But because they don't have Krishna, you'll find many times they will come to you with many, many problems. They will do that. You can easily see that they are suffering. So when you become better and better, your vision will become better and better. Your sight will become better and better. But if you are not a serious devotee, what will happen in the middle? People call you, you think. Probably they are lying. The devotees are too much. They are after me. They are after. So I have to escape from them. You will find some loophole to escape. Say that I have a headache or I have stomach ache or whatever. And then rather you prefer going to a party. And greatest advice, even after I speak, think so fine man, our thought is increasing. What's to show that you all are determined to achieve the ultimate goal in life. So one has to be like Prahlad. Prahlad is very famous for his determination. His father held him down from a cliff. He was put under the elephant to be stacked on his head. He was thrown into the ocean. He was put in the cave of hungry lions, hungry snakes. He was administered with poison. But he didn't budge from 1 inch in his determination. So that should be our determination also. You have to know that whenever you come difficulty in spiritual life, you all have to do your material duty. We don't mean to say that now all of Hare Krishna, all Mataji, now forget your home, chant Hare Krishna, mantra, simply chanting and asking, you forget all your responsibilities, Prabhuji, give up your business job, just be enjoying chanting Hare Krishna all day. We don't say that. And that is not possible also. We are living in the world. That is the Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Acharya Namaskar. He himself was a family man, was a high court magistrate. He had 13 children. Anybody has 13 children here? Bhaktivinoda had 13 children. He was one of the topmost devotees in our Sampradaya. So he has given in his book conditional duty and constitutional duty. Conditional duty means you are conditioned in a particular situation now. What is that conditioning? Now some of them are thinking they are Mataji. Mataji think they are Mataji. Some of them are thinking they are Prabhuji. I am thinking I am brahmachari. So we are a condition in a particular situation, as a sort of condition of duty. So I am asking you to do your duty to the children, to your husband, and how about duty? One has to do that. One cannot escape from that. Similarly, husband, the business, they will do their job, and they have to take care of the family. And they have the duty towards the children, not just like the mother has duty. But the constitution of duty means your relationship with Krishna and the soul. So we have a constitution of duty. Why for the constitution? It never changes. Eternally, we all have to serve the Father in the sky. And in remaining in that relationship, we have to serve God. So that duty is spiritual duty. So you may call it, if you want, material duty and spiritual duty. But it's called a conditioning duty, constitution of duty. You all understand this? It is simple. So you have to keep a balance of both. So sometimes God has, whenever there is an imbalance, then there will be a turmoil at home. You will find that when husband or wife comes too serious in spiritual life, then there will be a disturbance at home. You will say, you are not taking care of children, you are not taking care of me, you are not like this, or whatever. Similarly, if you become a little more serious about material life, taking care of continuing to be too much, you become so bothered up that 3 weeks you didn't go to class, and now you don't feel like chanting anymore, and you're becoming too interested in materialistic pursuits, like you prefer going to party or movie rather than going to Bhagavad Gita class. That appears more interesting. And something more than greater than that. And then you become disinterested in Sharanam. And you get swayed by the current of Maya. Like that. So you have to keep a very perfect balance. Like walking on a rope, you see an acrobat. Walking on a rope. Sex is balance sometimes often difficult. So we should take advice from the seniors and keep a nice balance. So that as you progress, what will happen, you will find. Externally you are doing all your material duties, but internally your love for Krishna will blossom. From a bud stage to a fully blossomed flower. You will see like that. Our attraction for Krishna, our appreciation of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, our joy in practicing the principles given in the Krishna consciousness movement, you will see that it is increasing more and more. Like Matthew was telling in one of the classes, that now I feel I just cannot miss my hand. I cannot miss the flag. So you will feel that, you will feel that God as a progress. Because it is something like coming from darkness into light. Asasoma, Padkamaya, Samasoma, Jyotisamaya, Matyoma, Samasamaya. So the first thing is Krishna can happen. That's why you will find that when you come into spiritual life, gradually the material misery will gradually wither away. Then go, you will start feeling happiness with it. And you will be becoming more and more happy. Like this room, you see now there is light, so you have no fear, no anxiety. But when all the lights are off, somebody tells you. Somehow or other, you know, in this room, one snake has slipped in, if somebody gives the information, and the light is off, what do you think will happen to you? How much will you fear? Because you don't know where the snake is sitting on the ground, anytime they can bite at it. You'll be jumping up and down, very fear. Similarly, your heart is like a dark cave, which is full of snakes like lust and pride and envy and anger, delusion, greed. Many, many things are there in the heart. So already tell me there are six snakes already. And the heart is dark also. How much more do you fear? That is why you are not fearing. Why do you fear? This is very good. So now, so first of all, you have to lift up the heart and find out the snakes and catch them, put them one by one out. We have to take them out and remove that snake. Remove that snake. Then they will become harmless. Lust or anger is not considered bad, provided we engage them in the Lord's service. Like we are lusty for things for the world, we can use the same lust in the Lord's service by loving the Lord. Actually we have love. Love becomes, when it comes to the world, just like milk becomes the heat. Like the love becomes lust. The lust, when it is not satisfied, becomes anger. When anger increases more and more, then one becomes bewildered. And loses all good intelligence. I mean, you lose good intelligence, then you behave in crazy ways. After that, then you fall down further and further. So, at the same now, when you have lust in this world, you engage the lust in Krishna's service. How? We all have passion in our body, but we should use it in the Lord's service. By chanting the holy name, bowing down to Lord, by performing puja, coming to temple. Work hard in Krishna's service. Then what happens by doing service? Then the same lust is transformed again back into modern goodness, and And then gradually we will go beyond mindfulness to the Shuddhatva platform, beautiful devotion platform, beautiful. Then one can develop that section. So we are, they're now like kind of tug of war. Sometimes they are there, sometimes they are there. Devotion is just like this kabaddi game. Kabaddi, 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 go, sometimes they catch and put it there. Isn't it? You are here with the most terrible one to come. So when you are sitting with people who are not Krishna conscious, you have to be extremely careful. And usually Prabhupada says, you are the by learning the knowledge properly, then we will be sufficiently enlightened to give them enlightenment. Like that. So they don't want to come from the dark light. It's like how many of you want to be blessed in the morning in the alarm clock? How many of you love the alarm clock? But alarm clock is your good friend. He is trying to do good for you. By ringing the alarm, what does he do? You become so angry, you hit on his head. But he is your friend. He is actually making you wake up so that you will have enough time to go to office. Similarly, from darkness, somebody is bringing up light. People will call it abnormal. Why do you come to abnormal? Actually, it's your health is safe. By chanting Hare Krishna every day and by taking prasad, by attending the regular programs, you have to experience that you're coming from an unhealthy state to a healthy state. From a feverish, sick state to a healthy state. You can see that. We all have experienced those of us who have been battling for several years. Can clearly see, they were in a feverish state, they are going to a healthy state. And every one of us has experienced that. You can see that. And the more we practice, the more it is joyful. It appears that it is a huge treasure house where there are unlimited treasures to be opened and seen and enjoyed. Shamatma appears amazing. As you go higher, there are higher and higher stages as you go higher. And it is opening up and revealing us better and better and superior truths which give us unlimited happiness. So once you have some sight in the Shastra, and then in practice you will experience yourself. But you should not give up the practice, or you should not take it lightly or take it casually. If you take God casually, then how can we hope for that? We should want to become pure. That is why I am saying here, now all your activities appear to be like night for somebody. What is day for the devotee is night for a mental health. And what is night for a mental health is day for the life. So these are two parts, but we have to clarify our goals. That do I want to go back to God or not? So sheer mysticism without God is due to frustration and the limitation is there. So actually none of us here fall in that category. Certainly every one of us here is trying to become Krishna consciousness. But then there's a possibility that we may give up Krishna consciousness and again get back into that rat race of material life. You have to be very careful. That's likely visible in everything, follow us any time from the pure platform. So now all of you are in a very pure platform by coming to class and by chanting. So we have to stay in this elevated platform and become completely pure. Because when you come from a simple life, you feel that there is always temptation by which you can succumb again back to the old habit until you become completely pure. So that is the one that we can learn from the world. We should become like this introspective, self-realized. We should ask ourselves for this position. Like many were raising hands at the beginning of the class, that we want to become like Siddhartha, self-realized soul, a pure devotee. So we should desire, try to be a homework. You can go to 12th chapter. The 12th chapter, there are verses beginning from Adhyeshta Sarvabhutana Maitra Karuna Evacha. Beginning from this verse, you can read up to the end of the 12th chapter. Read the shloka, translation and purport. Then, ask yourself whether I want to become a pure devotee like that. You will really enjoy it, Bhagavad Gita. And 12th chapter, verse beginning with Adhyeshta Sarvabhutana Maitra Karuna Evacha Dharma Moira Lankar some of the prescriptions. All the verses are talking about a pure devotee. They can read them. Next time they will ask how many are there. Thank you very much. Thank you so much. This time, actually, Hitler too is a good singer and a good speaker. I request him to speak by the next time. He can actually sing and play on trumpet together at the same time.
Jai Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Vedanta Shiva Sigurdananda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. So, I'd like to thank Radha Shankar Prabhu for a wonderful, very lively lecture about the goal of life and the importance of striving to become devotees and not like Radha Kashipu. To understand what is the time of awakening for the self-controlled sage and the time of sleeping for the habit-controlled materialist, and the time of awakening for the materialist and the time of sleeping for the uncontrolled sage. I remember being in a temple in New York City, and just next to our temple across the street is one discotheque. And when the devotees are getting ready to go to sleep, they're just opening the discotheque. People are starting to come. And there's a big man, pretty strong, standing outside. They call him the bouncer. Anyone listening wrong, he bounces them. Like that. And then in the morning when we wake up from Mangalarti, the bouncer will just be finishing his job. And he and all the other people would just be going home. And bouncer is when rowdies, when people who are become too drunk, too much violence, or undesirables, they come in their place. So he goes in and bounces them out of the place. So he's called a bouncer. And in some places they have 2 or 3 of them. Because people who take intoxication and do these kinds of things, they become quite unreasonable sometimes. So you have to use some force to get rid of them. So I was reflecting on one very wonderful statement that Radha Shankar Prabhu made about the goal of life. And that is that all of us want happiness. We all want to be happy. And he mentioned one person who traveled all around the world, to America and to Europe and to all different places looking for happiness. And ultimately he found that only true happiness is there in spiritual life. And I had exactly the same experience actually. That when I passed out of my college in Boston in 1987, I spent 3 years after that. And I traveled more than 25 different countries. I traveled all over America and Canada and South America and Brazil and Argentina and many, many countries in Europe and also in Africa. And I was looking for happiness everywhere and performing all different varieties of activities trying to discover happiness. Playing all different kinds of music, all different kinds of people, at all different times of the day and night and morning. And ultimately, my realization was that by personal experience, I realized that the world, this material world, does not really have any happiness or satisfaction to offer. Real happiness and satisfaction is found in the association of people who are sincerely trying to glorify the Lord, irregardless of particular nationality or even religion or process of religion. The most satisfaction is found in cultivation of spiritual life. Because when we make Krishna happy and satisfied, then naturally we also become satisfied. Like when we water the root of the tree. When we water the root of the tree, all the branches and flowers and fruits, they automatically become satisfied. We don't have to water the flowers and fruits independently. So similarly, when we engage the practice of spiritual life, then Krishna becomes satisfied. And we also become satisfied. And all the other living entities around us become satisfied. And the best way to satisfy Krishna in the age of Kali Yuga is by chanting his holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This is my personal experience and realization, as well as all the Shastras give this conclusion. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.